Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Happy anniversary, LC. Happy 40th anniversary. Congratulations.
Man, you know, it's
so funny. My son was like, dang, that went by real fast. And I say, it went by fast because we still like each other.
Yeah, that does help.
I said, that helps.
A little easier.
You ain't going to get no calls from, you ain't gonna get no calls from Uncle Sonny?
I don't think so.
All right, so Horace Grant yesterday was really the first guy. We know that Scottie Pippen is feeling a certain way because he's not saying anything. But Horace Grant went on the radio yesterday in Chicago, ESPN 1000, and unloaded on Michael Jordan. He called 90% of it BS. He said that it's not really what went down, that it's Michael's versions of events. And he also called it a so-called documentary. Here's his explanation as to why he called it that.
When that so-called documentary is about one person, basically, and he has the last word on what's going to be put out there. What's going to be put out there? It's not a documentary. It's his narrative of what happened in the last quote-unquote dance. That's not a documentary because a whole bunch of things was cut out, edited out. So that's why I call it a so-called documentary.
It's a memoir. It's Michael's version of how things went down. And I'm sure that it's partially true. And I'm sure that if you were there and you experienced it, you're experiencing it very differently than Michael Jordan probably did. I can see where I think the best point that Horace made was, hold on, you're calling me a snitch because you think I said something about Sam Smith, but you just told 6 million people on ESPN that you had a bunch of teammates that were doing coke and going crazy when you first got there. How in the world am I a snitch?
Did they or Jordan or whomever, you know, did they leave something? Did they drop something to Scotty, to Horace Grant, and Horace Grant told Sam Smith? Did they, like, set him up and he ran with it? Is that why Michael thinks that maybe Scotty?
Michael said, Horace, I think it was in episode 2 or 3, that the entire thing came from Horace. And no one else has said anything even approaching that. Not Horace, not Sam Smith, not anybody else. There are other people in the documentary saying, look, that came from a whole bunch of different places. That wasn't exclusively Horace. So for Michael just to drop it like it is a fact that Horace Grant was Sam Smith's source for the Jordan rules is, first of all, we don't know if it's true. And second of all, he spilled on other guys, too.
Yeah, no, and I understand what y'all saying about spilling on other guys 34 years, 35 years later, whatever the number is. I don't necessarily look at it that way. If Michael had gone to the security of the team, the coaching staff, and said, man, them dudes in there doing coke, and they got girls, and we got a game tomorrow, y'all need to go bust that up or something like that, then I would say he was snitching. As far as I know, he never said anything until a week ago or a month ago or whatever, whenever that aired. That was the first time he ever said anything about it as far as I know. So I look at it as to some of those guys weren't probably even with us today. It's like something that's gone. It's like having a conversation about what happened in the past, telling a story about something that happened in the past. I don't know that I would classify that as snitching.
Horace Grant would.
Oh. And I think Horace Grant certainly has some validity. I mean, I read you guys the quote that Scott Burrell, who's featured prominently in the doc, literally said he's on the couch trying to figure out, do I need to talk to how my wife is going to feel about this, how my in-laws going to feel about this, you know, his parents. So Scott certainly felt a certain kind of way, a little bit a certain kind of way, about Mike telling the business on Life on the Road. And we remember, while it's true that it wasn't broadcast when he was saying it, Mike still said it directly in the camera, understanding that it was being recorded and maybe used later. He understood that. So he was very comfortable putting his business on Front Street on camera like that.
Do you think we're going to get to see more pushback? Because Horace obviously is the guy that went first, and he was very explicit in his criticisms. We have not heard from Scottie Pippen. We saw that Steve Kerr and Dennis Rodman and others went to Pippen's defense when Michael called him selfish. Look, we all loved it. It was really fun to watch. It was a great trip down memory lane and seeing all these wonderful moments about an athlete that we all remember fondly. But are we going to hear more of these guys push back? Because this, I mean, if I'm Scottie, obviously I'm hurt right now. I'm wounded. But if I'm sitting there saying, hold on a second, I came out of this thing, with the exception of Jerry Krause, looking absolutely terrible relative to everyone else. I'm the reason you have six of these. I understand you are the better player, but you couldn't do you know what until I showed up. And when I was with you, you got six. When you left to go play baseball, we were still damn good. When you came back, yeah, we won some more. But before I showed up, you hadn't done anything. And you're treating me like this? If I'm Scottie, I'm getting ready to unload on that.
Yeah, you probably could drop that nugget if you feel like it. I mean, you could probably get some people wondering, because I'm wondering anyway. When LZ brought up the subpar 500, I'm like, damn, he just rocked my world this morning. I was like, but I still MJ's still cold, so it don't matter anyway.
No, of course he is.
Of course MJ's still cold. But here's the funny part. Scottie Pippen actually has a 500 record without Jordan.
Yep.
That's the thing that's crazy. Now, obviously, there was residue from the championship team and et cetera. But the fact of the matter is that Michael Jordan, including the season where he broke his foot, Michael Jordan has never had a 500 season without Scottie Pippen. But Scottie Pippen had a 500 season without Michael Jordan.
And you mentioned this earlier, LZ, and I think it's worth repeating. One of the things that was not mentioned in the documentary, where they spent a lot of time talking about Scottie Pippen sitting down because Tony Kukoc got the final shot. And rightfully so, Scottie Pippen looked bad in that moment. What wasn't mentioned is that they probably go to the Eastern Conference Finals if a whistle gets blown or doesn't get blown against Scottie Pippen, that there was an egregiously bad call in the moment leading up to it, that if they get it even remotely right, the Bulls probably do advance. The Bulls probably do go to the Eastern Conference Finals without Michael Jordan, with Scottie Pippen as their best player, and that was conveniently not mentioned.
Yeah, Michael Jordan didn't want that. Michael Jordan didn't. He told the refs to blow the whistle. It was all blame Mike now, huh?
Yeah, this is about to look bad for me. Tweet.
I mean, listen, it's so hilarious to me that, you know, as someone who has loved the league basically his entire life, I used to watch classic games before we were quarantined up. Like, I just love watching ball, old ball, new ball, the whole thing. That call, and I believe it was Hubert Davis at the top of the three-point line, top of the key, shooting a three, and Scottie didn't even touch him. That call was so huge, and it was talked about for years. This wasn't like a whoopsie do. No, we went back to that missed call for years. This was a significant moment in NBA history during the 1990s.
And let's say it again. It was an incredibly important moment that, if it's in there, does nothing other than make Scottie look really good. And by admitting it, it never gets made. This is not a little bit of fear. I'm perfectly okay with the criticism about him sitting down. It was a terrible decision at the time, and I thought it was a terrible decision for him to reiterate that he would do it all over again. But they spent plenty of time on that and never, ever mentioned the call. That's hold on a second. What exactly is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, and to Horace's, you know, part, you know, this was sort of like, you know, a love letter to Michael Jordan's great career, and I'm fine with that. I was entertained, but as far as being an objectively produced doc, that I think we can all agree it was not, and because of that, people are going to be able to come in and accuse it of being unfairly subjective. Because it wasn't clearly objective, the way that, and I keep going back to what I think is the crown jewel, Made in America, which told it all. No stones unturned.
But it also wasn't the person, OJ wasn't involved in Made in America, and neither was Rodney King, and neither was the other, and Chief Daryl Gates and everybody else that was part of that whole Made in America.
I don't know what's going on with America.
Jeez. Michael Jordan. TikTok. Was involved in this documentary. So if anything, it shouldn't have been called The Last Dance. It should have been Michael Jordan's last game or last word or something along those lines. But they made reference to Phil Jackson's playbook in calling it The Last Dance, and everybody was assuming it was going to be such, and it turned out to be just a little bit different than what most people probably think. It's still a five-star.
We're looking right now at images of Tom Brady on ESPN. If Tom Brady wanted to do a last dance from Tampa, I'm pretty damn sure by the end of this 15 to 20 doc series, or how long he decides to do it over his 20-year career, that there are going to be things that we remember. He may not even have the Tuck rule, the Tuck incident with Oakland in the documentary. It might just start with the confetti falling and we keep it moving. I mean, that's what happens when people get to craft the story of their life without being second-guessed or pushed back with.
Look, if I'm LeBron James, all I know is that I'm making sure everybody knows that number about Scottie Pippen. I'm going out of my way because, Keith, you said it at the beginning. You said, you know, it does make you feel differently about LeBron, because LeBron, one of the criticisms, and inevitably, these two guys are going to be compared to one another.
It does make me feel different, but I also understand different time, different era.
But
there are
different eras to be sure. But the fact of the matter is that Michael Jordan without Scottie Pippen struggled to win games. That's just math. Okay,
I understand.
LeBron James with the Cavs, they were really good. They were really good, and he had a supporting cast that was nowhere.
I understand. He leaves, they suck. He comes back, they win. I got it. Jordan leaves, they still good. He comes back, they win a championship. I get it. I understand. Maybe that was it. He knew they were still good, and he came back and said, well, if I come, then I can push them over the top. And everybody will look at me as the GOAT. I don't know. I don't know what his thought process thinking is. I just know that he's one of the top five, if not the greatest player to ever play the game. LeBron James is in the top five, if not one of the greatest players to ever play the game.
No, of course it is.
And like I said about Scottie Pippen, once upon a time, Scottie Pippen was considered one of the top two players in the league, depending on who you're arguing with.
Well, he was third in MVP voting. That's all you need to know. I would think the only teammate that LeBron James had that finished in the top five probably was Dwayne Wade in MVP voting. So they both had sort of a, you know, all-world running mate to go with them. Some would even argue, you know, at least in that first season, that Wade and LeBron were, you know, co-captains and not just definitely LeBron's team. You can make that argument if you want to. But the reality is that LeBron still managed to win a championship without Dwayne Wade. He's still able to be above 500 without Dwayne Wade. He still went to the finals consecutively without Dwayne Wade. Even if you were to say Wade was his Pippen, he showed you he could do it without his Pippen.
Look, there's no question that LeBron James's career and accomplishments and everything that he's done over however many years he's done playing, it feels like it's going to be north of 20 by the time it's all finished. It's going to look better the further away we get from it. And I think Michael benefits from a lot of that. Now, we're all of a certain age where we got to see Michael in real time. And we remembered what it was, and we remembered the greatness and the wins. But and you go back
Speak
and you watch
yourself.
These 10 episodes. What are you talking about? You didn't watch it?
Of age.
Yeah. You watched it. You're the same age. So you go through this, and then it's when we get a little past LeBron, when we get a little further away from what he did, and you go back and all the things that you just mentioned, Ozzy, all the accomplishments that happened, the people that are just looking at them in a vacuum and not having experienced Jordan and LeBron together at the same time, LeBron's going to look better and better and better the further away we get from it.
No, it is. And you know, you put up a documentary about anybody, man. When you go back and you watch highlights of certain guys or whatever the case is, you go back, you go, damn, he was good. I forgot how good he was. Like you, so in the moment that you're seeing that in real time is one thing, but then when it goes by for a number of years and all of a sudden you're seeing it again, you go to yourself. That's what I told you the other day. In thinking about the Cap, I'm like, man, the Cap was shooting skyhooks from the 3-point line. Like it just doesn't make any sense. Like there's nobody that can do that. Like, and people forget about the Cap. If you did a documentary about the Cap, they wouldn't think about no other centers. They just wouldn't. You did a documentary right. about Shaq, they're not going to think about no other centers. That's just what it is.
You do a documentary about the morning show. You won't do my any other radio shows.
I don't, to be honest with you. To be honest with you, I can't listen to nobody else.
Is Jerry Jones thinking about any other quarterbacks? Because Dak wants $45 million on the back end. Why not? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. This is what you've taught me about the NFL when it comes to contract negotiations, Key, that the salary cap really doesn't matter, that guys can get paid what the owners want to pay them, that they can always find a way to make the money work, that who's ever next is going to get a little bit more than the guy who went right before him, which brings us to Dak Prescott, who's still waiting to find his long-term contract. And there is a story out there that Dak is looking somewhere around $45 million in the fifth year of his contract. He wants a five-year deal. He wants it to be worth about $45 million. If the back end of the contract never gets paid out anyway, if it's his turn to go and the salary cap is not a hurdle, why doesn't Dak Prescott have his contract?
Well, because Dak Prescott would like to have $45 million guaranteed. And I'm sure the Dallas Cowboys are sitting there saying, man, we're not giving you $45 million in the fifth year guaranteed. Are you out some damn mind? You know, and he's sitting there saying, well, I need a portion of it. And they're saying, no, we're not giving you anything even remotely close to that. And that's what you're having. You're having this battle of 4 years is guaranteed at this number, 100 and, I don't know, Carson Wentz and them got 120 or whatever it is. We're willing to give you that. In a little bit more than them. And he's saying, well, I want a fifth year and I want $45 million and I need some of it guaranteed. I need 25% of it guaranteed. And they're saying, we're not doing that. And I need it up on signing, but I also need it on reporting of the league year in the fifth year, which is 2025. I need it in 2025 on March 16th. I need to be paid or you guys have got to release me where you get into the Todd Gurley situation. And that puts pressure on the Cowboys to make a decision on to redo his contract because they certainly are not going to carry a salary cap hit of what at 40, it would be more than that. It'd probably be, if his salary is 45, I bet you the salary cap hit is probably $60 million.
So, okay. So here's the part that I don't understand. Why does Dak Prescott feel that he's in a position to ask for more than those other guys have gotten? He certainly hasn't accomplished more.
Well, sometimes people, you know, over-evaluate themselves and inflate their themselves with their egos and not really understanding the true numbers and the true essence of what things are. A lot of times they don't get it. And if you're not being explained by your representatives, because if the representatives can get the Cowboys to give, let's say the Cowboys decided, okay, we're going to give him $5 million guaranteed of the $45 million. That's a win for the agent. The agent now can say, look, I got a fifth year guaranteed, and if they don't pay him by this date, he gets $5 million if they release him. All those tricks to go and get the next client.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cutesy thing. When the grand scheme of things is, if he can play, they're going to pay him anyway. And if he can't play, they're going to cut him.
Is it as simple as he just thinks he's worth more than the Cowboys do? And that this is what, I mean, and I understand that that's a negotiation that is typical, that who's ever asking for the money thinks they're deserving. Who's ever gotten charge of the purse strings is trying to pay as little as they possibly can. But this feels like a miscalculation that's way off. I mean,
well,
to your point.
It's the fifth year, though, so it's not that big of a deal. On top of that, he ain't missing nothing. Football doesn't start to September.
So, why
so
not
he's not
if it's
missing
the fifth
anything.
Year, why not give it to him? If it's all just funny money on the paper, even if it's $5 million, to your point, the Rams had to eat some money with Todd Gurley.
Because okay. Because when they're looking at their books and the bean counters are counting, then they're saying no, because if he accelerates, it's going to cost us, I don't know what the number would be based on the structure, but let's just for numbers, let's say it's $20 million. They're saying, well, if we give him $5 million and the other 15 is going to accelerate with the five, it's going to cost us $20 million to let him go or $45 million to keep him. We don't want to do that. Because it's going to hurt our salary cap to sign future players that's coming up. You know, Amari Cooper, Zeke Elliott, if they still playing, their contracts will be expiring and coming up.
But they've already gotten one. This is the part that's so
weird
about that.
Yeah, but you're not just thinking about this year. you're thinking about years down the line. This is why teams like the Rams can get into trouble, because they're not thinking about the check is going to have to be cashed in the future. They're thinking about today. Oh, we're all in. We're pushing to get to the Super Bowl. We did it. We didn't win it. Uh-oh. Well, what are we going to do for the next 3 years? Well, let's just start cutting guys, because we can't pay the other guys. So let's just start cutting them because we don't have the cap space.
Contract negotiations. So go ahead, Ozzie.
It's so hard
for me to think of Dak as a $45 million quarterback. And maybe it's just as simple as that. That you got the front office sitting there and they're all chatting, trying to figure out what to do, and they're all looking like going, is Dak worth $45 million?
Well, not to say do you realize, but do you realize that 5 years from now, people like Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watsons and the guys that are coming up will be making that type of money? So he's trying to put himself in that position so he's not caught.
Yeah, but take me through it. I mean, it doesn't sound like that's the way that, at least the way that you've explained it previously, that you don't position yourself to be in line for the top 5 years from now. You go to the front of the line right now, and then the next guy comes and, you know, barrel goes past you.
Usually you do, but he's trying to position himself to be on par with the front line and to put his – I'm sorry, I just saw the J.R. Smith throwaway on ESPN. I had to
bad decision.
You have to protect yourself, and the Cowboys have to protect themselves. What he's trying to do is put them in a – back them up in a corner so that they stuck on making a decision. And they're saying, no, you're not going to do that to us. We're willing to pay you over the next 3 to 4 years, but we're certainly not going to extend out guaranteed money beyond that. Because we don't know if you're going to be that 5 years from now.
Of course not. Look, if Patrick Mahomes said, I want to make sure I'm the highest paid quarterback 5 years from now, yeah, okay, fine. Let's figure out a way to make that work, because the odds are incredibly good that 5 years from now, Patrick Mahomes is going to be that guy. The odds are nowhere on that with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott's not in that conversation now. Why would I think 5 years from now he's going to be it?
But the
self-worth, I don't understand where it's coming from.
Dak gets a bad rap. He's a good quarterback, man.
No one said he's not a good quarterback. The question is he a 45 quarterback?
Well, he doesn't necessarily have to be a $45 million quarterback, but he's a quarterback who's in line to get paid. And you keep talking about the 45, but the 45 is the fifth year. The fifth year is 45. Is he a $45 million quarterback 5 years from now? I don't know that answer, because he is not trending at $45 million 5 years from now. But he certainly is trending at the $30 million rate, wherever Jared Goff and those guys are at.
That's just the going rate. And I don't think anybody has a problem with that. The going rate for the next guy up is $30 million. I mean, I know it's a bananas number, but okay, fine. If Jared Goff is 30 and Carson Wentz is 31, then Dak Prescott should get 32. Fine.
Patrick Mahomes will be at 40-something.
Fine.
Patrick Mahomes will probably be at 30. Patrick Mahomes will probably be between 30. I'll bet you he's between 37 and 39. Deshaun Watson will be between 35 and 37.
Like, Deshaun Watson could be the next guy in line, and if we're at 33 and he gets 34, great. Patrick Mahomes is the guy that gets to jump. If he's up next and the next number is 36 and he says, no, I'm doing it for 43, okay, fine. You're Patrick Mahomes for doing that. Dak Prescott needs to get a better understanding of his value relative to the other quarterbacks in this league. He's next, so he can go from the front, but he doesn't get to go to the front for the next five guys that come behind him.
No, he doesn't. But it's all up to his representatives to get him to understand that and to work out a deal that makes sense for him, where the numbers are more guarantees than not. You have to protect your client if you're trying to get more money. I understand. Make sure that it's guaranteed money, though. That's what they need to be doing, instead of trying to get a fifth year of money that they're not going to guarantee at $45 million.
Key, you said earlier that you think you could get this deal done in a few hours. That if, you know, the clock is ticking, but we're not down to the last couple of days or whatever it is. That football isn't until July. That it'll get. Is this going to come down to Jerry getting Dak out on that boat, that crazy ass boat we saw during the draft, that he was God knows where doing that. And he's going to say, Dak, sit down. Let's figure this out. That they're going to figure it out, that this whole agency trying to negotiate for the next guy.
Yeah, they haven't ducked on the agent yet.
We'll do that. Dak, come out onto the boat. Let me explain to you why we're going to pay you what we're going to pay you. Here's the pen. We're done.
Yeah, they haven't dumped on the agent yet. Once they dump on the agent, it's a difference. They ain't got there yet. They still got 9 weeks or something to get to him. You know, they got a minute to get to him. They just letting it work itself out. When they need to dump on the agent, they're going to dump on him for sure. They're going to unload. They're gonna go all out arsenal on him.
How do they do that?
Well, they could do it from a number of ways. They could discredit him. They could have other players start talking to Dad about how foolish he is. This makes no sense. They could start leaking the actual structure of the deal. They could start doing all sorts of stuff to get real ugly and nasty. They haven't gotten there yet because they are not in that position of panic.
Take me through. Let's say you're up, Keith. It's your turn. You're negotiating, and you've got your representative in there doing it for you. And then all of a sudden, Jerry Jones calls you and says, Keith, come on over to the house. I just want to talk to you. Leave your guy at home. I don't want him. I'm going to be here alone. I want you to come alone. Let's you and me figure this out. What would your response be?
How long? Do I got the same time as Dak?
Yeah.
I'm leaving it up to my guy, man. I'm really not, you know, that's why I hired him. I'm not really nothing I mean, he's telling me everything that's going on, and so I'm just taking my leave from him right now.
I appreciate that, but I think maybe you're not understanding what I'm offering you. I would like the two of us to sit down. I don't want it to go through a third party. I like you. I trust you. I think you like me and you trust me. Let's the two of us sit down and talk about this.
Well, I'm not satisfied with the 4 years. I'd like to get some of my fifth year guaranteed.
But you go in there and have the conversation at that point, right?
Oh, I have a conversation. If he wants to, the owner wants to have a conversation with me, I ain't got no problem talking to him. Don't mean that I'm going to tip my hand. Right? I mean, I don't have to agree to nothing.
True.
No, but when you get one-on-one, it's a little bit of a different negotiation.
Because you're already willing to give me $130, and guess what I'm willing to do? Take it. So it don't even matter.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
I know where I got $130 in the pocket. Right here. I'm going to get that. Right? I already know that. So the worst thing to come from it is I got $130.
Well, right now, the only thing in his pocket is the 30, right, for the tag.
Well, I got a deal on the table that's probably $130 million. I know that. And I'm going to get that. I got that. I understand that. I'm trying to get a little bit more because I got $130. I'm pretty satisfied with $130. I was making $4.
I guess the clock is ticking. The clock is absolutely ticking. Would you rather? Coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
This is making me nervous. I'm not gonna lie.
Music. I don't know what music this is.
It's rejoin music. But get your mind out of the gutter, Chris. Get your mind out of the gutter. I just wanted to ask a guy a question. You know, life presents you with many choices and forks in the road, and sometimes you just have to make a decision. So I wanted to ask you guys a question. Would you rather speak all languages? You know, as you like to travel, Key, you've been around the world. Travis, I know you like to go to different
beaches the language
in Orange County, this and that. Would you... Right. Would you rather speak all languages or, you know, all languages throughout the world, every country, anywhere you went, or speak to animals? You could just have conversations with animals, just you and the animal. Keyshawn, what would you rather?
I'd rather speak all the different languages. Can you hear me?
Did we lose Key?
Hello?
No, I got him. I'm here. I got Key.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay.
You hear me?
Just because
I'd rather speak.
Like answer, Raj. Doesn't mean you.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
I'd rather speak all the different languages.
You rather speak all the different languages than to go up and talk to like a horse and just
man? No, because a horse can do something. A horse can do something to me that I don't want him doing.
Like what?
Ain't no telling.
I don't like where this is going.
That sounds ominous. That sounds terrible.
Kick me, do something, you get mad at me, bite me, anything.
You got to clean all that up, bro.
Horse going to be like, Key, I like the way you're walking there.
You don't want to give Chris Morales that kind of sound. He could do all kinds of stuff with that.
I'm not worried about all that because my mind ain't there. My mind is I don't mess with animals like that.
Then you could go into the sea key. You could talk to the sharks that you're
I don't get
of
anything just out of that. They can't help me. They so can't help me. I'm on Earth, and I'm in the world. I want to be able to talk Italian, a little Russian, German, Spanish. And I want to do it all.
LZ, you're well traveled, but you're—I don't know if you're an animal person. I know you have like two dogs, but what would you rather?
I would much rather speak to animals, and this is my rationale. At the end of the day, if I really wanted to, I could learn the languages of where I'm going and be able to operate and communicate. There is nothing I can do on my own to figure out how to talk to my dogs. So this means that I'm going to need some outside help that may not come around very often. So give me the animal speaking. And if I really wanted to learn how to speak French, I can go ahead and do that.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that, but that is a good point. Travis, what about yourself?
Well, the question wasn't, can you learn other languages? Because I think we're all capable of doing that. It's if you could just snap your fingers, and which could you have? Give me the people. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to go into any place in the world and order my food and get a drink and do all of those things. And look, I'm not Michael Vick, but I have no use for animals, man. I've got absolutely no interest in them in any way, shape, or form.
Man, let me tell you something.
If you like your dog, good for you. If I don't, okay? I am not interested in animals, period, other than which ones taste the best.
Absolutely. My dogs know
how to push the door open, and they know how to push the door open and get back in the house.
But they don't know how to close the damn door.
I need to tell them, close the damn door behind you. That got all my interdiction. But instead, I got to get them to close the door.
But look, LZ, you want to be able to walk into a restaurant and look at the menu and not ask somebody, what does this mean?
What
are you giving me?
I'm about to keep it real with you guys. Like real. I've gone out the country and got laid and can't speak the language.
We're not asking you all that, man.
I can figure some stuff out without being able to speak the language. That's all I'm trying to say.
Speak the language of love.
Next one.
LZ, come on, man.
You always got to go too far.
You guys go talk to your horses. I'm going to get something in a restaurant. I'm with you, Travis.
Travis, I want to be able to go to, I don't know, some country somewhere where it's like zero English at all.
Africa.
So stupid. And I'll be able to walk in and really ask them, is this beef, without them telling me, you know how they'll do you. They'll tell you, it won't even be beef.
You're fine. You'll like it.
It'll wind up being camel.
Well, I guess in the other scenario, you could ask the camel himself.
Are they sending you to the meat grinder after this, dog? Talk to the camel. Talk to me.
Hey, is that your boy on my plate right there? What am I about to eat there?
Is that your cousin that you snitched on? Horace Grant the camel? Tell me the truth. Who's doing all the snitching?
Oh, man. No.
Well,
man.
I got to say, based on the answers and everything, you picked that one. I mean, you got to be able, like I say, you can learn the language, but be able to talk to some animals.
You can't
like
learn. What
Dula
you gonna walk around?
I think that's something else.
You gonna walk around Kyrgyzstan with a little book trying to learn everything you're saying in a short period of time?
Hold on. Where?
Is it like Kyrgyzstan or something like that?
Kazakhstan?
Something. One of them. Wherever Borat was at.
Whatever you just said, yeah, like a Kyrgyzstan. Place I wanted to visit. Whatever you just said seemed like a place I was interested in.
Okay, that's pretty girly.
Wherever Borat was at, I don't know where he was at, but it wasn't a place where it looked like they were speaking a whole lot of English.
Okay, all right.
I like to fancy. I kind of know my world geography. I don't know where you're talking about, Key. I don't know where that is.
Well, wherever Borat was at, wherever that place was at, that he was.
Up,
I,
bro.
wherever he was at.
Oh, man.
Eat it up. All right. Because I was about to book me a trip where you was talking about.
Y'all want to mess around talking about some animals. All right, Travis, you know, you walk in there talking about his ravioli, and it'd be something totally different.
No. You and I are on the same page. Animals and Travis Rogers are not on the same page, other than I'm at the top of the food chain. That's all I really care about.
I want to be
really
like
interested in what's going on with your dog is not my deal.
I want to be like Manimal. I want to be like Aquaman. I just want to wander around Dr. Doolittle. I just want to be talk to animals and like tell them stuff, man.
It's a lot of people that talk to animals until they get a hold of them.
Oh yeah, that sometimes they're not speaking the same language even if you think you are.
Yeah, you seen what was it? What was his name?
Joe Exotic.
Yeah, Joe Exotic. You see, he was messing around with them lions till they got a hold of his leg.
I got a tweet here from @BigWillyCan. He said the information you get from an animal or a fly in the White House. That's what I'm talking about. Send a couple bugs up over here, get some information, what's going to happen?
Stop.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool.
Cross Talk with George Serrano is coming up next.
But, you know, the great thing about being able to understand different languages is I can listen to what people are saying and they saying about me. You know, I was traveling abroad once upon a time with someone that could speak multiple languages, and they assumed that we couldn't, you know, interpret what they were saying, and they was talking about us. And that particular person let them know, oh yeah, you know, they didn't know what to do, man. That was the funniest stuff I ever seen, boy. They were sitting there talking about us in Russian, and didn't have an idea at all that the individual knew exactly what they were saying.
That's always like fun, like when you see that happen in movies and stuff. Remember, like in Rush Hour, when Chris Tucker started speaking in like Chinese all of a sudden, and you're like, "Oh, okay, it's like that, huh?"
No, but the thing is it really got addressed. It happened a couple times with this person. It happened once in Italy, once in France, and once in Russia, and they just, you know, they start talking crazy, and it was making, you know, comments and whatnot. And it was like, well, wait a minute, man. What you mean? You know, that's why I would rather be able to speak the languages from all the countries opposed to talking to some damn animals. Why would you want to talk to some animals?
George, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So what would you rather have, the ability to speak any language and talk to humans all over the world, or the ability to talk to animals like Dr. Doolittle?
Yeah, I'm with Key on this one, LZ. I got to be honest with you. I mean, the animals thing is kind of interesting just to know what they think, but I feel like we're going to be disappointed by what animals think as opposed to being able to speak every language possible.
Not only that, I'm not trying to be – the dude is not – the lion is not trying to be my friend.
Right. There's that too.
We don't have common interests. What do I care what the lion thinks? Yeah.
Like I told you, you see Joe Exotic, you see what happened to him.
Okay, I got a question for you because I was going to pose this to Ramona in a little bit because she's going to join me today. Would you rather be able to read the mind of a man, of every man or every woman? Would you rather be Mel Gibson or Taraji Henson?
I'm asking all of you.
Because look, there's pros and cons regardless. You know, of knowing what each side would think.
Well, it depends on what I'm dealing with, I guess. Because of the world that we live in, and for whatever weird reasons, we tend to deal with males in the corporate world more so than we do with the female side of it. At that juncture, I would rather deal with males because I want to hear what they're discussing and talking about in our space. But in general, across, I'd rather know what Taraji is saying. I want to know what she's thinking. he fine? Oh,
look,
I wouldn't mess with him. I want to know all that.
I've been married to my wife for 22 years. I've got a 16-year-old daughter in the house as well. And I have no idea what's going through their head on any given day. Absolutely none. So if I could get a little insight into that, I would absolutely go that way, George. I have a pretty good idea what's rattling around in the head of most men. But on the other side, I'm completely clueless. So give me the women.
Yeah, because you can make that decision. Yeah, LZ, where are you on that?
I'm going to make it a clean sweep. Give me the women because I can monetize that.
You know what? Wow, you nailed it. That is absolutely the one for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're you're basically Mel Gibson there. You know, look.
Yeah, oh, God, yes. Yeah, can you imagine? Because check this out. I could sell myself as the gay best friend.
That can, oh, God.
Right?
It's a good angle.
So I'm non-threatening, right? Yeah. I'm like Keyshawn in board shorts. I'm non-threatening. I just come up in the environment, get all the information, and then monetize myself on the heterosexual male side as, I got the answers. Trust my therapy sessions.
Oh, man.
I can get you. Oh, man. Shoot, man.
Yeah.
I'll be unstoppable.
Yeah. You would be. You would be the Jordan of regular life.
Speaking of George, who's the bigger snitch, Jordan or Horace Grant?
I mean, we don't know for sure that Horace Grant was a snitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the assumption, even though Stacey King today on ESPN Radio said that he didn't believe Horace was the snitch. I mean, Michael definitely putting the cocaine circus out there was not necessarily fun, I would imagine, for people.
But is that snitching, I don't know how many years, 30, 40 years later, whatever it's been, is that snitching bringing it up now? Or
yes.
Or snitching telling at the moment?
Key. You and I and LZ worked together for a couple of years, and we told a lot of things to each other in confidence off the air. Like, if we did a documentary in 30 years and I said
George,
something that you said, you would be furious.
that's not what happened in the Jordan situation. Jordan walked into a room and turned around and said, no, I'm good.
Okay, but Key, how many times have I walked into, have one of us?
You ain't never
three,
walked into a room and seen me doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing.
No, but when the three of us have walked into each other's conversations and when we worked together, sometimes we were saying stuff that it would be okay with the three of us to know, but not the outside world.
Yeah, but
it's not that similar.
Yeah,
but
similar.
I wasn't inviting you. I wasn't inviting
either.
Your nosy ass into the conversation. It's different. Yeah, they was inviting Jordan into the party.
Look, there's no statute of limitations on things like that. Whether it was 40 days or 40 years ago, if you're saying, oh, yeah, I had a bunch of teammates that were all on cocaine and going crazy, then you're snitching.
Wait till I write my book, Key, about those conversations with
and
me,
then,
you,
guess
and LZ.
That's what I'm going to say. And what I'm going to say is George is just trying to sell books. He's a liar. You should never believe him. Remember, he is a journalist. The only thing he's looking to do is get clicks and sell books.
LZ, you coming on the book tour with me?
What I would be saying is, officer, I don't know what happened to George Sedano. I saw him. He was fine and healthy to me. I don't know where he went. Check with Carol. Carol down in Florida. I'm sure George is just with her husband hanging out. I don't know.
But before George disappears, somebody's going to get you on the phone and say, hey, you're the third person in that room. What happened?
I don't know anything.
I talk to animals. That's the gift I chose. Keyshawn speaks all languages.
Key, you don't think that's a little bit snitching, though, Jordan?
It's not. To me, it's not snitching because he didn't tell the security of the team. He didn't tell the head coaches. He didn't do it in the moment. He's telling a story about what happened with his teammates. He didn't name names.
Yeah.
He told six million people on ESPN.
I know, but he didn't name names. Had he said George Sedano was doing cocaine, that's different.
Well, but it's easy, Key, to be able to just look at the roster.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Because like, you're a journalist and you nosy, so you
no,
don't do
because
that.
I'm just it's a normal person that has the internet.
I know. You can look up the roster and go, I told him that earlier on the show. You can look it up and go, well,
let's do it right now.
He was a bad guy.
Come on, Key. You can go through that roster
and have a pretty good batting average on who it was or was not in that room.
I know, but it just – MJ is snitched to me. I got to change. Vance! Get all them Jordans. We're taking them back.
Key, I'm with you on knowing the languages. I'm not with you on the Jordan not snitching part.
Man, that's not a good look for MJ, though.
Yo, George, did you know that Michael Jordan did not have a winning season without Scottie Pippen?
Off the top of my head, I didn't remember that. But, yeah, it makes sense. Absolutely.
That's crazy to me.
It puts LeBron James's career in a different light as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. If I'm LeBron James, I'm having that tattooed on my jersey for the rest of my life with Scottie Pippen fact that we're done here. We are absolutely done here. The Sedano Show is coming up next. We'll see you here tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock on the morning show on 710 ESPN.